Okay, we're going to look at a passage from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. And before I read that particular passage, I'll just give a short background, a brief background to this. And then I'll just read that particular passage. Now, Israel in those times were a nation and they were coming out of the time of the judges or the rulers. Like they had different rulers. Israel as a people, in a sense, they would always, in a sense, walk away from God. You know? And because they would constantly be walking away from God, you know, they would be oppressed and attacked by their enemies. And then they would cry out to God for help. And God would raise up a judge or a ruler in their midst. And that ruler or judge would fight the enemies, bring peace for over a period of time. And then after the death of that ruler, again, the cycle would repeat. So that was the journey of Israel in those days. And the last judge was Samson. Samson was the last judge. Now, post that time, God raised up prophet Samuel, as a prophet. And he was the person who was actually leading the people of God. But there came a time where Israel as a nation said that we want a king just like other nations. Just like other nations have a king. Now, Samuel was God's prophet, God's voice. And so they were telling Samuel, no, you are not enough. God is not enough. As Sunita said, invisible. No, we want somebody visible. We want somebody in flesh and blood. We want a king like other nations. And so God was disappointed. Samuel was disappointed that they wanted a physical king. And so in a sense, they were rejecting God, who is their father, who is their leader, who is their true king. They were rejecting in a sense and wanting a physical king, a natural king. And so then finally, God gives in and then Samuel appoints Saul. So Saul was the first king of Israel. Okay. And so Saul's background was that he came from the last tribe of Israel, that was Benjamin. Okay. So he knew that he came from the least of the tribes. So his beginning was good because he had humble beginnings. So he was aware that he was from the least of the clans. And so with humility, depending on God's grace, so he began to lead. But soon, this King Saul began to be led more by the fear of man rather than the fear of God. Okay, so that was the kind of person he was turning out to be. And so we see a demonstration of that in this particular passage that I'm going to read. So we need to have patience because it's a long passage. So I'll just read that. Unless we read the passage, if we don't get the context of it, and then we'll look at how do we understand and apply this passage. So I'll just read that. 1 Samuel, and that's chapter 15, 1 to 3, and then the latter verses 10 to 31. I'll just read that. Samuel said to Saul, the prophet, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people, Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." Okay? So it seems kind of like quite harsh as you're just reading this. But we'll try and understand this as we come to the end of the message also. Verse 10 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, because he's turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord, your God. Okay, not his God, your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Enough, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Sometimes, like when you read scripture, you really think twice. Does it need exposition in that sense, and interpretation in a sense, and how God uses finite people to understand his infinite plans and his heart, you know? And so, but that's also a grace of God that God gives to us through the Holy Spirit to understand this infinite God, you know, and his ways and his love, you know, for us. So we will just learn a few aspects from this particular passage. While I was just preparing for this passage, I was remembering an incident in my life when I was 3 years old. Like, you know, now some of us must be guessing, how old are you then? Like, no, so I'm 53 now, so this is 50 years back. But I still kind of like a little bit remember. So I remember that we as a family, we had gone to church and we finished church and we were walking back home. And it was kind of maybe like about half a kilometer or something. So I was holding the hand of my older cousin who was staying with us. You know, so my dad would always call cousins from Kerala and they would stay with us, get them jobs, and then they would get set. So I was holding her hand. And I was told by my dad, don't leave her hand. Okay, and so I kind of like held on to her hand for some time, but I was too excited, you know, to see what is happening around and all that exciting things. So slowly in all that excitement and adventure in my mind, let go of her hand. Okay, so when I let go of her hand, after some time I realized, like, you know, she's not there with me. But then I saw that at some distance I could see my parents. Okay, so I said, I'm safe. Right? That's fine. But I don't know. In couple of minutes, it was like everybody disappeared. Like, you know, I couldn't see anyone no, whom I could recognize. And I found myself crying. And then, I don't know, some stranger took me and put me on his shoulder. Like, you know, and he was walking beside all these buildings, like asking me, is this your building? Like, you know, is this your building? Now you can imagine, at three, every building seems the same only. Like, you know, it looks like another. Then finally, like, you know, whatever, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes later, I could see my parents then next to the building, like that we used to say. And then I had a sigh of relief that finally, you know, I had reached. So when I was thinking about the story, it felt like it was almost like baby's day out. Like, you know, so only thing was that it was not like so much of adventure in that sense. You know, moments of adventure, but it ended up in pain and sorrow. Like, you know, and I was just thinking that sometimes or many times, like, our disobedience seems like a good adventure. You know, Saul was enjoying, I think. Saul, before he met Samuel, he built a monument also. Like, you know, thinking it's not a great thing. Like, you know. So disobedience many times seems like a good adventure. But many times the end result is pain and loss. So today, when I look at myself, can I say I have grown out of it? It will be a lie. Have I grown out of it? No. I see the same sinful tendencies. Now, I know all of us are looking very holy. Like the only one who goes through all these things. No, we never grow out in a sense, but by the grace of God. But by the grace of God. We all have all these sinful tendencies. It's just by the grace of God. And so, I just want to say, we see these things, you know, the same sinful nature manifesting itself in different situations of our lives. That's our story. Okay? And we can never say, that was Saul. We should say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Yeah? And we see all those tendencies in our lives. So that's our story. We want to just learn a few aspects. It's there in your notes. The first thing that I want to share is that deception precedes disobedience. Deception. King Saul received a very clear instruction from Samuel that he was supposed to completely destroy the Amalekites. Now, Amalekites, it was Exodus 17. Now, I'll read that particular verse. Where God said, you know, Israel as a people, they were coming out of Egypt, and Amalekites, for no reason, attacked them. You know, and so God was upset with them that this was not supposed to happen. I mean, they had no reason to attack. And so, you know, so God is all wise, perfect, and in his plan and in his decision, he said, no, they will bear the punishment for this. And that's why in Exodus 17, it says, the Lord will be at war from generation to generation against the Amalekites. No? And so it was very clear. But Saul disobeyed. And also, Saul partially obeyed. And so that's also something for us to ponder and look into our lives. Like, partial obedience is also disobedience. No? When we read the passage, twice he comes back to Samuel and said, no, I have obeyed. That is deception of second degree. Like, no, not just. And so all those things we are capable of. You know? And so it is alarming to see partial obedience from King Saul, but a strong confidence to see that, you know, see that to declare and say that I have obeyed what the Lord had said. And so basically kind of like he brings down the standard of God. You know? Instead of being totally obedient, he was partially obedient, brings down the standard of God. And he also thinks what he has done is fine. You know, that's also. So the instruction is brought down. And then what he has done also, he feels, no, it's not so bad. Okay? So that's the danger, and that's what we see, how deception kind of like plays in our life. So deception prevents us from coming to a place of conviction and repentance. No? So some of these, so we may do some things, you know, and then we feel, that's fine. I think God is fine. And I think I am fine. The truth is, we are not fine. God is also not fine, and we are also not fine. So that's how like deception plays in our lives. You know, in Colaba, our local church, we've started to do once again the gospel-centered life. Okay. You know? And one of the, and I was supposed to open, you know, the fifth of her, and the first lesson that you keep looking at is that gospel grid. Okay? That after we receive Christ, we need to be on this journey where we have a growing awareness of God's holiness and also a growing awareness of our sinfulness. Does not mean God is becoming holy and holy every day. No, our awareness is increasing, should increase. Does not mean that we are becoming bad and bad, sinful and sinful every day. No, the awareness of our sinfulness, you know, comes to our light. And so only when we realize that, then we need Christ in our, then we recognize that I need the cross. You know, because the only person or the only thing that can bridge that gap is the cross. You know? And so when we do that, then we are able to live in repentance, live in surrender, and then the word of God convicts us, you know, and we are able to, you know, live in humility and brokenness. When we don't do that, like Saul, when we reduce his holiness and we reduce our sinfulness, then it's more of us and less of him. You know, it's more of us and less of him. So, John, you know, John 3:30, it's not there. You know, John the Baptist, when he hears about what Jesus, his disciples come and say, this is all what Jesus is doing. You know, how come he's doing all these things? But he's totally at peace. And the last sentence that he says in John 3:30 is, he must increase and I must increase. So, you know, so we just realize that that needs to be our posture. In a sense, unless we have that growing awareness and we don't diminish, bring down his holiness, you know, we will have more of ourselves. We will increase and he will decrease. So what people see in us is more of us and less of him. It needs to be the other way around. And deception, no? Deception, being deceived in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, can lead us to a place where it will be more of us and less of him. No? Even if we, and it's so dangerous. The two thieves on the cross, no? The one thief said, no, you are the savior of the world. Save yourself and save us also. So, even on the cross, I mean, deception is so strong that we are not able to see ourselves. But that other thief said, no, we are getting what we deserve. He is getting what he does not deserve. And he turns to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. No? So that's repentance. No, that's turning to God. That's surrendering yourself. So I want to say, we need to ask ourselves, what is my deception? What is my deception? Now, I have written down some deceptions. Okay? We can, and I tell myself this, like, you know, some of these things. So, sometimes, like when we are having some conflict, my tone changes and my wife says, you're angry. And I say, I'm not angry. No, see your tone. See your tone. No, this is my natural tone. This is natural tone, like. So it takes me a while. Nowadays it is before the sun sets. Like, no, you know, I need that much time to realize something is wrong. That's not my natural tone. Okay? That is deception. Okay? Now I want to name some deceptions. This may not relate to all of us here. It may be some people outside. Like, okay? I am not stingy. No. I am not a shopaholic. No. I am not always late. What are you saying? I am not wasting my time. I am not always watching. Watching. Now we know what we are watching. Like, no? Now, these are some deceptions. So, only when we come to that place where we are able to see our sinfulness and God's standard, no, we'll be able to come to that place of surrender and saying, Lord, change me. I see myself. I see my heart. I see my posture. So, that's like deception. The second aspect is independence fuels disobedience. Independence. So, when we look at disobedience or this aspect of obedience, independence. Now, that's also another factor. So, by his actions, Saul was saying, God said this, I know better. I know what is best. Finally, all those things are supposed to go for worship of the Lord. Okay? And not my mistake. Soldier's mistake. No? So, I know what is best for me. And so, you know, for us to just realize that without God and His ways, we will ruin our lives. I was thinking, like, just preparing this, that, no, we are, as His people, we are created to walk with God and walk in community. We are created because the Trinity itself is a community. And so we are created to walk with God. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Walk with God and walk in community. And if these two are the boundaries, I want to say this zone of being in between is not just a safe zone, but it is a flourishing zone. Okay? It's a zone of abundant life. It's a zone of a growing, mature life in God. Okay? So we're not created for independence. We're created to walk with God and in community. So I want to say to us, what a joy it is to be in community here. That's what we're created for. There's healing, there is strength, there is support for one another in this community. You know, there is sense in what we're doing in this community and not away from this community or away from God. Yeah, independence makes us feel like we've arrived. In fact, it makes us feel like God. Correct? So, in a sense, like when we want to think of our own and do things on our own, and we think like, you know, that's it, I don't need anybody else. We want to be, the desire to be like God. And that's what like the angel of the Lord, Lucifer, said, Isaiah 14, 13 to 14. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So this angel, such a prominent angel, gifted angel, said, this is not enough. I want to be like the Most High. Be like God. And also be above God. And so this act of independence actually and arrogance actually led to his downfall. He was thrown down from the kingdom of light into the kingdom of darkness. Okay. And so I want to just say that, you know, the fruit of the kingdom of light. You know, because what Samuel is saying is that disobedience is like the sin of divination. Disobedience is like idolatry. And so he's saying those are the fruits of the kingdom of darkness, not the kingdom of light. And sometimes like independence can lead us in that direction. What's the fruit of the kingdom of light? It's God dependence. No, not claiming ourselves to be self-made people. I'm a self-made man, woman. No, God dependence. No, comes from the kingdom of God's glory. Okay, God's name and God's kingdom. Those are things that come from the kingdom of light. But the kingdom of darkness is independence or love for your own self. And what we see in Saul demonstrated is building a monument for himself, people's approval, okay, prophet's approval, and his own kingdom. And so we see that because his focus was that, his obedience was partial. And his repentance, he did repent, but that was also very shallow. Shallow repentance and partial obedience. And that's what like the tragedy. And so in the desire for, you know, what he wanted for himself, he lost everything. It was torn, given away to the next king. And that was David, who was a man after God's own heart. You know, C.S. Lewis, he says, I was not born to be free. I was born to adore and obey. I was not born to be free. I was born to adore and obey. And so, I want to say, what is stopping us? You know, what is stopping us from walking in dependence with God and the church? What is stopping us from walking with God and in community? What's stopping us? We need to ask ourselves. We need to check our hearts. No, is it pride, hurts, offenses, insecurities? What are those things that are hindering me from walking in dependence? Independence to God and walking in community with his people. And we need to ask God for his grace to bring healing into our lives. And that brings us to a place where we can be flourishing, we can experience abundant life and a thriving life. So I just want to say that once again, that we are created to walk with God and to walk in community. In that zone, as his people, we will thrive. That's what God has created us for. Okay. So it's both together. It cannot be just one. No, I like God, but people too difficult. No! Our love gets worked out. Our love for God gets worked out. Our understanding of love is demonstrated in this community. And so to just understand that we are imperfect. We are imperfect. The church is imperfect. The world is imperfect. But he has given us, you know, his perfect son. And his perfect love. So that we have hope in this imperfectness. I think it's not very comforting, isn't it? Like too much imperfectness. But in Christ, we can. There is hope. And that's what we are singing about. That's what we worship God about. Only in him. And that's why we are praying for our friends. Because it makes sense only in him. Otherwise, in all this imperfectness, there is no hope. There is no hope. We're living in vain. You know? But in Christ there is hope. Because one day we will see also. We'll see him in his perfectness. and we'll also be a perfect community on the other side of eternity. Hallelujah. So we live with that hope. That's enough. God has given us those things that we can live in that hope. So lastly, love leads to obedience. Love leads to obedience. So deception is one aspect in this whole area of disobedience. Independence is one aspect. But what is important and what will lead us to obedience is love. Love leads us to obedience. Saul was the first king who should have been a great role model for the people of God and for all of us, but he failed. And then God brought his son. The first king failed. And so he brought his son, who was the last king and the true king that we can worship. Saul was told to finish the Amalekites for the protection and deliverance of God's people. And so we find that quite harsh, isn't it? I mean, described, you know, in detail how you need to finish. But our true king, he gave up his body and he said, "It is finished." How harsh is that? How harsh is that for us, for our deliverance and our protection forever and ever for eternity? So we're trying enough in our finite minds to understand this infinite God, his commands, his truth, his ways. And we can only say, "Lord, you are just. You are just. Lord, you are loving. You are faithful." And we can sing these songs with all our hearts, believing it is true. It is true. Because we see love and obedience in the life of Jesus. What is the response of Jesus? Even in his manhood, Luke 22:42 says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." In a sense, if you look at Saul, he was in a sense saying, "I will." Lucifer, he didn't say in a sense, he said it straight, "I will." But Jesus is saying, "No, Lord, your will." And so he loved the Father and he loved doing the Father's will. And hence, he walked in obedience. He loved us too. And that's why he bore the punishment for us. And in him is the grace for us to walk in obedience. In him is the grace. Because it says, John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Keep his ways. So what we just understand is that obedience is not about following rules. We'll break it. Obedience is not about being disciplined. Obedience is not about having a strong willpower. Obedience is not about having some good habits. And that's become part of us. And I want to say obedience is not also about anointing. Sometimes we feel anointing. Obedience is about love. Obedience is about love. And when we know his love and we desire to grow in his love, obedience will be the natural outflow of our hearts. Nothing else. When we walk in love with our Savior, obedience becomes a natural outflow. Is it easy or difficult? Very difficult. So I've put Apostle Paul, what he's saying. Apostle Paul is way up there, and we don't know where, Now he's saying, Apostle Paul is saying, so I find, Romans 7, so find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We are delivered, you know, in Christ Jesus. And so, as I just close, friends, I want to just say that walking in obedience is not about, you know, ticking three things. I've done this. I think God is happy with me. No. Walking in obedience is a journey of walking in love with Him. It's a journey. There is no formula. There's no formula. There are no rules. There are no ticks in that sense. The more we allow God to work in us, and the more we are able to understand His love for us, the more we are able to walk in obedience to Him. So, I want to say, let us allow God to bring His love into our hearts in fresh and new ways every day. And let our prayer be, Lord, that You would increase and I would decrease. Amen? I'll just pray then. Okay. Father, we want to, Lord, just thank You for this morning. We want to thank You for Your Son, Jesus, Lord. Without Him, there is no hope for us, Lord. He showed us the way of love and the way of obedience. And so, we want to pray that, Lord, we would see Your grace working in our lives. Father, we pray if there are things, Lord, that are not right, and we are not able to see it also, we pray, would You bring those things to light, Lord? Maybe by Your own grace, or maybe through godly people whom You have put around us, that we will not live deceived lives, Lord. But Lord, we will receive Your truth, Lord, and Your grace, Lord, to work through those deceptions. Lord, we confess and say that we all have, Lord, independent tendencies, Lord. That spirit of independence, Lord. Lord, we want to do things, achieve things, all that is good, Lord. But many times, Lord, away from You and away from Your ways. We pray, help us to recognize that. Help us to see the barriers and blocks, Lord, to that independent spirit of ours, Lord. Give us grace to work on those things. That, Lord, we would allow then Your love to work in our lives, Lord, so that we would walk in obedience to You. We thank You for this great love of Yours. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, Lord. Lord, help us to grow in this journey of love so that You would increase and we would decrease. We commit ourselves into Your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.